This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the April-May issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we finish our reviews in children and family listening, and then we'll begin reviews in young adult listening, including a review of Everless by Sarah Holland and Earphones winner read by Eileen Stevens. We also have a new feature called The Download, and this time it's a question and answer with author Nick Stone and narrator Dion Graham talking about Stone's new young adult novel, Dear Martin. Let's get right to it. Our first review today is an Earphones winner, and as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative, voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. In the print version of the magazine, many of our reviews carry a QR code, which, when you scan it with your smartphone, will play a sound sample of the book. I'll let you know when a review has a QR code. And if you don't have a smartphone, you can still hear titles of most sound clips of most of our titles at www.audiophilemagazine.com. Our first review today in Children and Family Listening is The Glass Town Game by Catherine M. Valenti, an Earphones winner read by Kate Redding. The rich tones of narrator Kate Redding's voice are a perfect fit for this poetic tale of the Bronte children, adventures in the imaginary wonderland of their own making. This story is filled with dazzling imagery and glorious wordplay, which Redding masterfully performs with a lilting style that highlights the beautiful alliteration and musical assonance of Valenti's work. The voices selected to characterize each of the Bronte siblings and the fantastical figures of the Glass Town splendidly highlight small aspects of the characters, major and minor. Redding sensitively performs the range of delicate emotions, grief, wonder, betrayal, delight, that will make this story an enduring favorite fans will want to revisit many times. Don Yarman wrote that review of The Glass Town Game by Catherine M. Valenti, an Earphones winner, read by Kate Redding. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 13.5 hours unabridged, ages 10 and up. Our next review is Unicorn Power, Lumberjanes, Book 1 by Mariko Tamaki, an Earphones winner, read by Amanda Lee Cobb. Narrator Amanda Lee Cobb nimbly voices a full cast of larger-than-life characters in this exciting story of a summer camp and friendship to the max. When the Lumberjanes set out to climb a mountain that isn't there, they find new friends, unicorns, and adventure. Cobb excels at creating distinctive voices for all five members of Roanoke Cabin, and even during long dialogue sequences, the listener can tell who's talking. The secondary characters, including exasperated counselor Jen and brash camp director Rosie, are also perfectly pitched. Cobb's delivery of narrative is particularly excellent, combining deadpan dry wit and a bubbly cartoon style that mimics the graphic novel origins of the Lumberjanes series. Listening to this production is a treat. Natalie Marshall wrote that review of Unicorn Power, Lumberjanes, Book 1 by Mariko Tamaki. It's an Earphones winner read by Amanda Lee Cobb, available from Recorded Books for 4.25 hours unabridged, ages 10 and up. Next we have Tempests and Slaughter, Numair Chronicles, Book 1 by Tamora Pierce, an Earphones winner read by Ariadne Myers. Tamora Pierce's legions of fans will not be disappointed with what could easily be mistaken for a full cast performance of her long-awaited novel by narrator Ariadne Myers. Listeners familiar with Numair will meet him here as Aram Draper, when he becomes the best of friends with Ozorn, still just a prince of Karthak, and Varys. They are just beginning their studies at the Imperial University in a world that is very different from the one that will evolve. Myers ably provides a wide range of voices for the mages, beings, students, and gods, as well as a light, smooth narrative. Standouts are the three students, Enzi, the crocodile god, and the university's mages. Listeners will be eagerly awaiting the next installment. Betsy Fraser wrote that review of Tempests and Slaughter, Numair Chronicles, Book 1 by Tamara Pierce. It's an Earphones winner, read by Ariadne Myers, available from Listening Library for 16 hours, unabridged, ages 12 and up. Next we have Witchwood by Tahera Mafi. It's an Earphones winner, read by Bronson Pinchot. Employing a beautifully rhythmic tone and exquisite pacing, Bronson Pinchot reprises his role as narrator in Mafi's dark companion to Furthermore. Pinchot charts the macabre tale of Layli, a 13-year-old Mordeshur, the last of her kind, who washes and prepares the dead for their journeys to the next realm. Worked to the point of collapse, suspicious Layli spurns assistance from young strangers, Alice and Oliver. Those familiar with the earlier book will remember these two, leading to disastrously bloody results. While the vocal choices for the two mothers in the story can be jarring, Pinchot's impeccable timing and artful inflections perfectly suit the rich descriptive text. Listeners will cheer the suggestion that another glimpse into this magical world may be forthcoming. Sharon Grover wrote that review of Witchwood by Tahera Mafi, an Earphones winner, read by Bronson Pinchot. It's available from Listening Library for 7 hours, unabridged, ages 10 and up. And finally, in Children and Family Listening, we have They All Saw a Cat. It's by Brendan Wurzel, read by John Lithgow. Actor John Lithgow evokes each animal, from the wee squeaky bee to the formidable fox that sees the cat. The shifts in point of view are charming. Lively accompanying music helps the listener imagine each creature as it catches a glimpse of the cat, or, in the case of Flea, hitches a ride. Both the narration and the music add depth to the inventive illustrations by the author that show the different ways animals sense the cat as it moves through the world. The author reads a detailed note explaining how his interest in the natural world led to this charming picture book about the value of varying one's perspective. Emily E. Connolly wrote that review of They All Saw a Cat. It's by Brendan Wurzel, read by John Lithgow, available from Weston Woods Studio for 4 minutes, unabridged, ages 4 through 6. Okay, we are leaving children now, and we are moving into young adult listening. And our first review in young adult listening is Love, Life, and the List. It's written by Casey West, read by Caitlin Kelly. Caitlin Kelly's narration captures a wide array of characters in this story of young love. 17-year-old Abby gives herself a month to complete, though things in an effort, to complete tough things in an effort to infuse emotion into her art. What has she already crossed off? Having her heart broken due to her unrequited crush on her friend Cooper. As Abby grows emotionally, Kelly's narration reveals more emotion as well, and her range of character voices astounds. Kelly instills age in Abby's grandfather's voice through a gravelly quality and emits confidence in her military dad's sure and even tone. Stilted dialogue and a predictable premise give way to lively interactions between the characters. Surprising developments will keep listeners engaged to the end as Abby works to develop her art and get over her crush. Amanda L. Costello wrote that review of Love, Life, and the List by Casey West. It's read by Caitlin Kelly, and it's available from Harper Audio for 8.25 hours unabridged, ages 14 and up. Our next review is No Saints in Kansas by Amy Brashear, read by Ava Kaminsky. This young adult fiction retells the events in Truman Capote's In Cold Blood from an adolescent's point of view. Narrator Ava Kaminsky's delivery is a terrific fit for the voice of high school student Carly Fleming, an ex-New Yorker who has moved to Kansas. The horrific murder of the Clutter family in 1959 gained national attention, drawing newspaper journalists and authors Capote and Harper Lee to the small town of Holcomb. Kaminsky skillfully portrays outsider Carly, who is ostracized and bullied by classmates for spending her time tutoring Nancy Clutter, and then for supporting Nancy's boyfriend Bobby, the only suspect in the murders. While some of Carly's investigative activities stretch credibility, Brashear's novel will bring a piece of history closer to today's teens, perhaps encouraging them to read Capote's account. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of No Saints in Kansas by Amy Brashear, read by Eva Kaminsky. It's available from Recorded Books for 8 hours of unabridged listening. And this is just a reminder that you are listening to the April-May issue of Audiophile Magazine, the magazine that brings great audiobooks for kids and teens. Continuing now with our reviews in young adult fiction, we have The Arsonist. Stephanie Oakes wrote it, and it's read by Fajir Al-Khazizi, Morgan Hallett, and Rachel Botchin. And it's an Earphones winner. This complicated novel, told in three points of view through letters, essays, and a diary, brings three teenagers together. Morgan Hallett narrates Molly's letters to Pepper with an edgy defiance in her voice that fits a girl who is considered a freakish loner by her peers. Pepper writes a series of school essays. Despite Pepper's academic failures and personal tragedy, narrator Fajir Al-Khazizi imbues him with the sunny good nature that suits his comic musings and kindness to Molly. Rachel Botchin narrates the diary of Ava Drayman, in which Ava recounts her discovery that her mother's resistance to the Cold War government of East Berlin endangers Ava's life. The listener hears Ava's demeanor change, from the saucy smugness of a beautiful girl to the steely determination of one seeking justice. Loss, perseverance, and fire link the lives of these three teens. Lisa Taylor wrote that review of The Arsonist by Stephanie Oakes. It's an Earphones winner, read by Fajir Al-Khazizi, Morgan Hallett, and Rachel Botchin. And it's available from Recorded Books for 13.25 hours of unabridged listening, ages 12 and up. Now we'll take a little break from our reviews today, and we will go to the download. Audiophile's Josephine Reed sat down with Nick Stone, author, and narrator Dion Graham to talk about Dear Martin. And this is an excerpt from their conversation, and you can hear the full podcast on Audiophile's blog at www.audiophilemagazine.com/blog. Josephine Reed, when you were writing the book, did you ever think it might be an audiobook? Nick Zone. I hope so. I mean, I definitely love listening to audiobooks. I have two little boys. I've got a 5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, and we spend a lot of time in the car, so we do a lot of audiobooking. And of course, it crossed my mind that it was a possibility. But when I heard that it was really going to be a thing, I got very, very excited. Joe Reed. Dion, what were your thoughts as you read through it the first time? Dion Graham. I really didn't know much about the book, and it's funny because I kind of took my cue from the title. Nick from the title, and it made me think, okay, so this kid is writing letters to Martin Luther King Jr. What's going on here? But as I read through the book, I took in what is happening for this young person, and actually all of the young people in the book. And the incident and the sort of disorientation of where he was, it really had a huge impact on me, for one. It reminded me of being a teenager. Two, I could relate to it easily as a black person of any age. But I was really struck and really kind of cracked open about the character's vitality, the openness of being a young person with all kinds of ideas floating around and not knowing who you are and trying to find out who you are and find your place in the world while the world is interacting with you and sometimes acting on you, as the world certainly is for justice in this book. Joe Reed. I want to talk about Tone because it's a young adult title that tackles rough and pertinent issues that are as current as tomorrow's news. But it's also a young adult title. It's not the Sermon on the Mount. So, Nick, tell me how you approach that. You walk that fine line that would appeal to young readers, but at the same time still speak to the larger issues you want to tackle. Nick Stone. Yeah, well, I've been involved in teen mentoring for a long time, since I was a teenager. When I was 19, I had a group of 6 high school seniors, and I'm only 2 years older than them, and I'm trying to teach them how to live, which is actually kind of hilarious when you think about it. But something that I constantly heard and still hear from teens I interact with is that they don't feel like anybody is listening to them. And considering the ages of a lot of the young men who have been gunned down over the past 5 years, my desire to write this book was triggered by the death of Jordan Davis, who was 17 when he was killed in Florida. I knew that I needed to approach this from the perspective of a young person who hasn't even figured himself out yet. And yet, he has all these things just in society that he has to deal with. I wanted to keep it as real as possible, number one, because teenagers are a lot more astute than we give them credit for. I definitely wanted to make sure that I was just kind of telling it like it is and putting it out there the way that it should be, because if a teenager had written this, I think it would have been maybe even a little bit more raw than it is now. Dion Graham. One of the fantastic aspects of this book is that Nick has captured or reflected on so many different aspects of teenagedom from so many different points of view, with kids who are not exactly the same, kids from different backgrounds. I work with a lot of young people, certainly kids of color, but kids from all kinds of backgrounds, and I was struck by just what you captured, Nick, and the conversations between them. I really appreciated the honest way that you dealt with it, and I tried to also reflect that quality in the telling of the story by allowing certain dynamics that are present with teenagers that we may think, oh, maybe he wouldn't want to have that in there. But I think it's true to the whole tale you were telling. Nick. Well, I think you just nailed it. Just saying. And that is The Download, talking with Josephine Reed, Nick Stone, and Dion Graham about Dear Martin. All right, now we will turn our attention back to our reviews in Young Adult Listening, and our next review is Everless by Sarah Holland, read by Eileen Stevens. It's an earphones winner. Listeners will be drawn in and left wanting more by Eileen Stevens's engrossing narration of Sarah Holland's fantasy, The First of a Pair. Jules is a girl from the kingdom of Sempera, where blood is the source of both money and time, and the poor people's only hope for survival is to sell their future years. Jules returns to Everless, the capital, in spite of her dying father's warning not to try to save his life. There she begins to face both forgotten hopes and unimagined dangers. Stevens excels in portraying the character's emotions, especially Jules's. The teen's longing when speaking to Rowan and her worry about her father are especially well done. Listeners will eagerly await the next installment. Elizabeth J. Fraser wrote that review of Everless by Sarah Holland, read by Eileen Stevens. It's an Earphones winner. It's available from Harper Audio for 10 hours, unabridged, ages 12 and up. Next, we have The March Against Fear, the last great walk of the civil rights movement and the emergence of Black power. It's written by Anne Bosom, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Karen Chilton. Narrator Karen Chilton echoes the determination of civil rights activists in Mississippi, often overlooked but hugely influential March Against Fear in 1966. Its initiator, James Meredith, was shot early in the march, and his mission was adopted by a coalition of Black leaders with sometimes competing agendas. As Martin Luther King Jr. sought to temper more revolutionary members, Chilton conjures his famously Southern deliberate and lyrical manner of speech. She rhythmically repeats the marchers' chants. What do we want? Freedom. When do we want it? Now. When young Stokely Carmichael becomes the group's most prominent spokesperson, Chilton brings compelling intensity to his speeches, and the march's new rallying cry, Black Power, Black Power. Her measured narration evokes the steady tramp, tramp, tramp of feet marching toward justice. Lisa Taylor wrote that review of The March Against Fear, the last great walk of the civil rights movement and the emergence of Black power. It's written by Anne Bosom. It's an Earphones winner, read by Karen Chilton, and it's available from Recorded Books for 4.25 hours unabridged, ages 12 and up. Next, we have The Hazel Wood by Melissa Albert, read by Rebecca Solar. Narrator Rebecca Solar sets an appropriate tone and perspective for Alice, a 17-year-old who is filled with discomfort and anger. This is the case in part because Alice's mother, Ella, continually moves her from one place to the next without reason or warning. Solar also portrays the tension that comes from Alice's unresolved feelings about her estranged grandmother, who writes dark fairy tales she's never been allowed to read. Alice's cynicism turns to fear and confusion when odd characters appear in her world and Ella disappears. Alice finds comfort from her caring friend Finch, who knows the story she has not been allowed to read. The suspense heightens when Alice is plunged into her grandmother's sinister fairy tale world and must tell her own story. Susie Wilde wrote that review of The Hazel Wood. It's written by Melissa Albert, read by Rebecca Solar. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 10.5 hours, unabridged, young adult. Next, we have The Very, Very, Very Dreadful, The Influenza Pandemic of 1918 by Albert Marin, read by Jim Frangione. Narrator Jim Frangione's emotional tone befits this nonfiction work about the influenza pandemic that ranged from 1918 to 1920. Frangione recreates dramatic pictures of a flu that began in the crowded camps of World War I, swept through the congested trenches, and spread across the world, claiming 50 to 100 million lives. In addition, Frangione delivers contextual material in an authoritative yet approachable manner. His tone switches easily from impassioned views to information about past plagues, medical advances through history, and the science of the virulent mutating virus. The author's extensive research is apparent. He pulls from first-person accounts, medical records, and newspaper articles, and with aplomb, weaves them into a narrative that works well as an audiobook. Susie Wilde wrote that review of Very, Very, Very Dreadful, The Influenza Pandemic of 1918. It's written by Albert Marin. It's read by Jim Frangione. And it's available from Listening Library for 5.75 hours unabridged, ages 12 and up. Next, we have Tess of the Road by Rachel Hartman, read by Catherine McEwen. Listeners might be forgiven for not immediately liking the protagonist, Tess, since, as it turns out, she doesn't like herself very much either. Catherine McEwen gives voice to 17-year-old Tess, who is stifled by society and by a strict upbringing, effectively communicating her anger and deep hurt. Tess inhabits the same world created by author Hartman in Serafina, a world shared by humans, intelligent dragons, and their lizard-like relatives. McEwen handles the many invented words and the lisping speech of Tess's Gwig friend Patka with aplomb. McEwen is an empathetic guide as Tess begins an epic journey, both literal and emotional, one that gradually exposes the roots of her anger and hurt. Tess's journey is deeply affecting, and listeners will be glad to have traveled the road with her. Jennifer M. Dowell wrote that review of Tess of the Road by Rachel Hartman. It's read by Catherine McEwen, and it's available from Listening Library for 16.25 hours unabridged, ages 14 and up. That's our show for today. But I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have a new feature called Robin's Roundup. We'll follow that with reviews in poetry, the classics, and drama, including a review of The Decameron by Boccaccio, read by a full cast. Then we have reviews in science fiction and fantasy, including a review of New York 2140, Kim Stanley Robinson's dystopian look at an all-too-believable future. It's an Earphones winner, read by multiple narrators. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.